you, Brother John. Yeah. Romans 3:22. We're not going to get a long way tonight because we got too much stuff in this, but we're going to see how far we can get. Romans 3:22. I have written up here at the top of this the objective nature of faith in Christ, setting right with God. God is offered to both Jews and the Gentiles on the same terms. Dikaiosyne. Dei. Theou. Dia. Pistios. Jesu. Christu. Eis, patas, tus, pistiontos, u, gar, essen, diastole. All right, Ephesians 2:8-10, the cross references to this. Romans 1:17, 4:11-16, 9:30, 10:4, and 10:12, 4:5, Acts 3:16. Galatians 2:16 and 20, Galatians 3:28 and 3:22, Ephesians 3:12, and Colossians 3:11 are all cross-referenced to this verse. Righteousness, dikaiosune, righteousness, and righteousness of God through faith. We are the righteousness of God is transferred to us by faith. Alright? By faith of Jesus Christ. Belonging to Him. Alright? Belonging to Him. And then we have the word ace. Now this here I want you to say with me. Ace is an extremely important little preposition in Greek. On page 119 you can look it up in that analytical Greek lexicon. The grammatical rule for that is extension or limitation of thought or verbal action. Now say that with me. Extension or limitation of thought or verbal action, and it is extremely, every time you see ace, it's important, but right here it's extremely important. And the righteousness of God through, by the agency of, that dia there, by the agency of, page 90, if you want to write that one down, that number, of faith of Jesus Christ. The faith of Jesus Christ. All of that's genitive case, genitive singular. All right? Unto all the ones believing. Ace, extension or limitation. A thought or verbal action. The righteousness of God is offered through the person of Jesus Christ unto all. Pontos, the ones believing. All right? Tous pistiontos, accusative, singular, masculine, present, participle, active, from pistio. Not or not is there a difference. All right? Not, or there is a difference. All right. I've got this little book out here. I'm going to set this over here by you, Sunday. Let's read this. All right. If you don't mind, we'll get around to this. The Amplified Bible is an explanation of the Greek and the Hebrew. It's a pretty good explanation in many places. Would you read that for me, please? 3:22. All right. The ones believing, the ones habitually believing, the ones continually believing. This is not somebody that just went down and shook hands with the preacher and walked off and just did what he wanted to with his life. It's the one believing, the one really believing from his innermost being for the rest of his life. Brother Madden said in the Articles of Faith of the association that he was a member of, in the church's association, he said, we believe that true believers believe all their lives. The true believers believe continually. They believe. We can run into a hard place in our life. We can have times of depression and doubt in our lives and everything, but a true believer believes. Even when you're in trouble, you believe. That's what you do. You believe. And then it says, "Not for not is a diastole." Diastole. Now that's a very important little verse there. This diastole means here, it means difference of sounds of musical instruments. You know what a violin sounds like? You know what a trumpet sounds like? And a guitar? And a piano? And a harp? You get all these things, drums? You know what they have different sounds, don't they? That's what this diastole means. It also means that sometimes it's used as different kind of taste. Do you know what jalapenos taste like? Huh? Alright, how about chocolate? There's a difference, isn't it? Alright? Some people have got jalapeno-flavored chocolate these days. Boy, that would be kind of weird to me, but they have that. But they have different kind of flavors. I like to cook. I really enjoy cooking. And one of the secrets of cooking many dishes is if you prepare a dish. I told my wife one time I was going to cook her macaroni and cheese. Not from a box. I'd take the macaroni and cook it, and then I took the cheese, some of the cheese that you melt, you know, the Velveeta cheese, and I covered it like that. I got all this stuff going. And then I took different asparagus, pears, and carrots, and I cooked them all separate. Well, I put them up and plated it and looked real pretty and everything, and put a little olives on there, and I had asparagus, pears pointing up like this. They were cooked by themselves. So when you took some of that macaroni and cheese and asparagus, pear, the macaroni and cheese tastes like macaroni and cheese, and asparagus, pear tastes different. One of them didn't taste like the other. And the carrots taste like carrots with butter on them. And you can tell the difference in taste. That's what this word means. Diastello. Now, there is no difference with God between a Jew and a Gentile. That's what he's trying to say. They all taste the same to him. There is no difference in sounding of music or whatever. When somebody calls upon the Lord and asks him to save their soul, whether he's a Gentile or Jew, it doesn't really make any difference at all. Romans 3:22. No difference. Jew or Gentile. The righteousness and the righteousness of God through faith of Jesus Christ, extension of limitation, authority, verbal action there, the word ace, unto all the ones believing habitually. These believers. For not is there a difference. Now we're going to go 3:23. Romans 3:23. And this little tiny verse here is gigantic. We're going to look at it, but we're going to be floundered by it, the little things in here. We're going to look at some things in it. Pontes. Dar. Hamarton. Kai. His serunta. Tes. Doxes. To. Theu. Now, we got one resident theologian back there, Brother John. And his wife, too, is a pretty good theologian. Beyond normal, by far. And Brother John has studied the Bible almost all your life, haven't you? A lot of times he used to preach and everything, has a stroke, and he has trouble expressing himself now, but it's all still there, isn't it? Yes, sir. Every now and then I preach something, he said, I never heard that before, ever. Yeah. And Rebecca's been in my classes for several years now. Yeah, 3 or 4 years, something like that. Deep study in God's Word. Now, I have said this before. For all have sinned, have missed the mark, is what I put down there. Now, you can push that out. See that word, have missed the mark? Just erase that. Because I did this in 1970-something. In 1970-something, I thought hamartia meant to miss the mark. Because that's what my teachers had told me, and this person had told me, and that person had told me, and everything. I heard it preached a lot of times. But John, have you ever heard a preacher say hamartia means to miss the mark? Yes, sir. All right. A lot of them say that, because Thayer says that. And a lot of this, because Thayer says it, and nobody went and checked it out,
is the problem.
And I didn't for many years. I just went on there and I took the teachers that I said that meant to Mr. Mark. Oh boy, that's what it means. It doesn't. It means to go out of the pathway. All right. Now, there is a word in here that means to miss the mark, to fall short. There is one, but hamartia is not the one. If I wanted to show a difference between hamartia and the word that means to miss the mark or to fall short, this is the verse that we would look at. Okay, this is the one. All right? Now, let me, every now and then I show you a little book. Here's a book called The Synonyms of the Old Testament. Boy, I tell you what, this writer is Nick Gilderstone. Robert B. Gilderstone, I'm going to put this on camera so they can see it. This is a fantastic book on word studies. Another one, Synonyms of the New Testament by Trench. That's good also. But this one here, you can study this one 30 years if you want to, because you won't learn it all in 30 years. It'll just take you a little while to read it. You just get in there and just mark it all up like I did if you want to. Just scribble it all up in there, all over the place, and cross-reference, and then write in all the fly leaves in there. You can just write all that stuff in there. Because I tell you what, this book could keep you busy for a long time. In this book, it'll tell you some of the things I'm going to tell you about tonight. There are many words for sin in the Bible. Lots of words for sin. For all have sinned, first person singular, or third person plural. Either one. This goes either way, according to syntax. Alright? For all have sinned. Third person plural, second aorist, indicative active from harnoctono, and this is the word to miss the mark. Hysterunte. This comes from hysterio. It means to fall short or to miss the mark. Third person plural, present indicative middle. So up here it's third person plural because it's going to agree with this verb down here too, okay? So that one up there, what I said was third person plural, second aorist, indicative, and active. Alright? And have fallen short, constantly fallen short. Third person plural, present indicative middle voice for themselves, middle voice. Remember that middle voice now. This is the word that means to fall behind or to fall short or to miss the mark. This is the word right here. It's not hamartia. All right? Of the glory of God. Now, the Old Testament, when it talks about the law, the only person that ever kept the whole law was who? Jesus. He's the only one that ever kept the whole law. We never keep it. We haven't done it in our lives. You won't ever do it. You can be raised in a good Christian home. If you're not raised in a Christian home, your whole life is going to be in a turmoil from now on. Really. You've got to guide children the way they should go, don't you? That's very important. Young girls and boys, when you get ready to pick a mate, find one that comes from a Christian home. Look at their parents more than you look at them. It's very important. It is. Very important. Falling short of the glory of the God. The only person that ever kept the real whole law perfectly was Jesus Christ. So we all fall short of His glory. And we all go out of the pathway. Alright? Now we're going to look at some words. Now the word to miss the mark. This is where we have all the misinformation in the what we call ecclesiastical writers and lexicographers. One by the name of Thayer went along one time and he wrote down to miss the mark. The Hebrew is chapa, and the Greek equivalent is hamartia. And so everybody followed suit because he's a great lexicographer, so they believed him. He was wrong. Chapa does mean to sin. It's one of the words for sin. And it does mean to miss the mark, but hamartia does not. Genesis 20 and verse 6. Chapa. It looks something like this in Hebrew. It means to miss the mark. Genesis 20 and verse 6. Avah is another Greek word, or Hebrew word, avah. It means wrong. It means perverse. It means to bend, to make crooked. We have a New Testament word to sin habitually and practice and really get real good, and that's what we call porneria, where we get the word pornography and twisted, and all of this from that word, okay? Phaneros means perverted, twisted. All right, amal. Amal is another one. Another Hebrew word. Hebrew is really, really... There's quite a few words in Greek. We're going to look at some of them. But Hebrew is very explicit when it talks about the word sin. Amal. A-M-A-L. All right, amal. Amal. It means to travail in sin. Sin makes life a burden. Think about that for a while. Sin makes life... Doesn't sin make life a burden? All right. Pleasurable work turns into toil, travel, misery, dreadful pain caused by labor, drudgery, backbreaking labor. Genesis 3, 17 through 19. Someone go to Genesis, the third chapter, verses 17 through 19. Genesis 3. Brother John, you over there? Okay. 3, 17 through 19.
To Adam, he said, because you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for your sake, and sorrow you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return.
All right. 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter and verse 58, it talks about kopos, is that Greek word in there, kopos, that means to beat you up. It means to beat you up. Sometimes you go out on the job and the job beats you up, just thrashes you. All right? Beatings. All right? This world beats us up because of sin. Now, aval, A-V-A-L, aval is another Hebrew word. It means want or lack of integrity, wrongdoing, lack of moral structure, all right? And another Greek word for that is adikia, which means lawlessness, anomia, which is lawlessness and unjustness, all right? Unjust dealings, dishonest in your character, dishonest character, all right? Psalm 43 and verse 1. Avan, A-V-A-N, is another one. To cross over the line. Now here is the word, if you want to line up a hamartia with it, this is the word that it lines up. It means to cross over the line. Hamartia means to go out of bounds, the result of evil influence. Another one, parapatio, or parapatio, it means to walk beside where you're supposed to. It means to get out of the beaten path. God lays down, because of the Old Testament law, we know what sin is, don't we? We know what it is. So it tells us that. To walk outside of its limits. Another word in Hebrew for sin is ra. Say that one, ra. Ra. That means to break up and ruin. Does sin break up lives and ruin them? To break up and ruin? Kakos is like the Greek equivalent to that one, which means Adamic evil. Adamic evil. Wicked deeds, Nehemiah 2:17. Adversity. Wicked acts. 1 Samuel 10 and 19. Now that was number 6. Number 7 now. Pasha. P-A-S-H-A. Pasha. Rebellion. Alright? Rebellion. Romans 3 and 3. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For all have gone out of the pathway. Every one of us. And we have fallen short of the glory of Christ's righteousness in the law. Rebellion. Revolts. Refuse to be in subjection. To refuse subjection to the rightful authority. To refuse to be in subjection. The Greek word for the equivalent to that is asebia. Asebia. Asebia means reckless, unworshipful, unrespectful. Eusebius means, you remember there was a, what they call a church father by the name Eusebius, which his name meant righteousness, or he handled himself correctly before God, Eusebia. But asebia means that he's reckless and not careful and unworshipful. Aditya, unjust. Anomia, lawless. And these are the words that are translated into the from the Hebrew into Greek in the Septuagint. Proverbs 28 and 21. Proverbs 10, 12. Job 34 and 37. And Job 34 and verse 37, God adds rebellion to the sin of Satan. And rebellion in man's life, isn't it? What happened in the Garden of Eden? It was rebellion, wasn't it? All right. Number 8. Rasha. Rasha. R-A-S-H-A. Rasha. Wickedness. Wicked activity. Like a troubled sea. Bagad is another word that goes with it. Bagad. Bagad. B-A-G-A-D. Mark 10:45. Number 9, Ma'al. M-A-A-L. Ma'al. That means breach of trust. It means treachery. Okay? Unfaithfulness. A falsehood. Does that sound like modern politicians or something? Matthew 20:28. Job 21:34. Breach of trust in by persons in authority. Number 10, Aven, A-V-E-N. That's an Assyrian word, actually came into Hebrew. It means nothingness. It means waste. Psalm 10 and verse 7. It also means to worship falsely in vanity. You know that you can sin by going to the wrong church? You can do that. You can sin by going to the wrong religion. What? There's people tonight probably in some in a Buddhist temple, isn't there? Jehovah's Witness Hall, probably somewhere. Even a Catholic church. Worshipping uncarefully. That's sin, people. That's sin. Mormonism tonight. They're out there. They're out there worshiping crooked. In a crooked way. Okay? And all of their good works, even if they do live good lives or anything else, it's all to vanity, emptiness. That's that word there, event. Jeremiah 4:14. It also means laziness. Hamartia comes from Amara. Amara and Amar. And it actually comes from a word actually in Greek, which means rail. And it means to flow. But the idea of the Amara, or Amar, is a canal or a river that becomes clogged and the waters become muddy and it causes destruction. This is a flood. That's what the word Amartia means. In Chaldean, in Syriac, Arabic, Ethiopian, French is Amare. The Latin is Amarus. These all come back to Hamartia. And all of it means something that has broken through and gone out of bounds and caused destruction and death. number 11. There's a lot of words. We need to understand the words. Asham. Have you ever been ashamed? Okay, this is just like that. Asham. A-S-H-A-M. Asham. All right? It means guilt. Isn't that just like a shame? When you're ashamed of something, you're guilty. You show your guilt. Okay? Asham. It means a mistake, a trespass, sin of omission. And the sin of commission is chata. You know, this is what we call a sin of ignorance. Asham. The sin of absolute. In the Old Testament, under the law of Moses, if you just outright, premeditatedly committed a terrible sin, like adultery or murder, you know what the penalty of that was? It was different. Yeah, it was death. It was different than bring a lamb or whatever. Now, when you committed a trespass of ignorance, asham, there was an offering you could bring. But Jesus Christ died for us all. Love covers a multitude in all sins because His righteousness is transferred upon us. Asham is a sin against the given law, like the Mosaic law, committed through error, negligence, as ignorance. A law is a law whether or not it is known. A law is the law whether or not it is known. If you're going down the road and you're going too fast according to what they think that is, that's supposed to be marked. The roads are supposed to be marked. But if you're driving out there in a 50-mile zone and you're driving 80 or something, you're in trouble. Now, maybe you didn't see the marker there, but you're still going too fast according to the law. Okay? Compensation must be made. Here's a fine. Okay? A guilt offer must be offered. Leviticus 4, 13, 5 and 2, 3, 5 and 17. Asham implies a breach of a commandment. Was due consideration when brought to the notice of the offender requires an atonement. Number 12. Anomia, lawlessness, hamartia. Means to go out of bounds. Lascivious, unworshipful. Adikia, unjust. Kopos. That means the sin that causes us a beating. Mokthos. M-O-X-T-H-O-S. Mokthos. It means the wearisome and travail. There's words in Greek that correspond to many of the Hebrew words. Sin causes much pain and worry, doesn't it? Onaria. Tacos. These are all words. All right. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For all have gone out of the known path. The path of righteousness. For every one of us have gone out of the path of righteousness. And we have fallen short of, this is a very beautiful verse, all of us have gone and broke over the banks of the river, of the aqueduct or the canal. We've caused destruction in our own lives. All right? And we have fallen short. That's the word to miss the mark. That word, hysteruntai. Hysteruntai. All right? It comes from hysterio. We have fallen short of the glory, the glorious ideal law of Jesus Christ. The glory of God. All right?
And that's what he tells us in the first three chapters.
That's right. This is the culmination. The whole first three chapters, this is the culmination. It says Jew and Gentile have one pathway to God. That's by grace we are saved. We're not going to work our way to God. We're going to be saved by grace. Okay? Because all of us have sinned. Jew and Gentile have sinned. Those Jews over there that thought they were so righteous are just as black of sinners as we are. That's just the way it is. Just as black of sinners as we are. Terrible people. The Jews always looked down their noses at everybody else. When they, in John the 3rd chapter, where Jesus was talking to Nicodemus, a master teacher, a doctor of theology. Nicodemus was a Pharisee. Nicodemus was on the Sanhedrin court. Nicodemus was there questioning Jesus. This wasn't, as so many people, he didn't slip over there at nighttime when nobody could see him. He wasn't dishonest. He was going over there as a representative of the Pharisees and the scribes and the high priest and the Levites. He was questioning Jesus as who he was. And this was an official thing that he was doing. And Jesus, he would use the third person plural. We are they. We and they, he would use sometimes. And Jesus kept telling him over, you all right sometimes, but you singularly. He spoke to him. And in the Greek it tells you. He came there to him and he said, well, let's just look at it. John the 3rd chapter real quick. John chapter 3. I was trying to preach this one time. I think I spent 6 weeks preaching John the 3rd chapter when I was teaching from the Gospel of John. There was a man, there kept on being a man out of the Pharisees. Nicodemus. Nicodemus means, his name actually, Nico and Deimos. It means the people conqueror. It means crowd crasher. His name meant that he was like one of them that went out there and he was like a law officer or something that busted into the crowds and got them all into order. That's what his name meant. Okay? Name to him, a ruler. All right. He was in Sanhedrin court. A ruler, he was a judge of the Jews. And this one came toward Jesus by Nyctos, night. We got a word night right out, Nyctos. Okay? And he said to him, Rabbi, Rabbi. Rabbi means what? It means doctor. He said to him, Dr. Jesus, you are a accredited doctor of the law. We know. How? Look at that. We know. Who's he talking about right there? We know what? The Sanhedrin court. We know that from God you have come. A teacher. For not even one is able these, the miracles, the semeion, the signs, to do, which is you practice, keep on doing, poies, except is the God with him. The Sanhedrin court says, we know from the Sanhedrin court that you're doing some miracles and signs. Okay? So God must be with you. Okay? And answered Jesus, the word apikrete, that means he caught up in speech. It's just like a volleyball contest or a badminton or a tennis. When you say something, you shoot the ball in their corner. That's what the idea is playing here. This is a word picture in Greek. And then you catch up, you hit the ball back. And this is his words that he bounces back to Nicodemus. And caught up in speech, Jesus, and said to him, Amen, Amen. Now up on Mount Sinai, when Moses came down from Mount Sinai, he would read each one of the laws, and then the Israel would have to say, at the end of that, they would say, Amen. Amen is a whole word. It's a very old word. It comes out of Persian. It went to Persian. It was Amen in Persian. Amen in Persian. It went into Hebrew, Amen. It comes into Greek, Amen. It comes into English, Amen. But it means most affirmatively, it means to stand up, and it means to prop up, and to stand behind. It's like tent poles to a tent. A tent without tent poles is nothing but a blanket. But when it's got tent poles in it, it's a tent. That's what the word Amen means. It means to hold up, to stand up. Now, they had to say Amen. Amen, we say this. Now, Jesus said to this guy, I say to you, Amen, Amen. You said Amen there at Mount Sinai, and you broke the law. I say to you, Amen, Amen, double, and I won't break the law. To you all. Except anyone is born geneste. Anyone is generated from above, anothen. Are you looking, is anybody got any Greek? You got a, is that, no, nobody got any Greek except for me, huh? All right. Not uk denete, not is able to see the kingdom basileon, to view. And not is able to see, not able to perceive, unless he's born from above. All right, now let's see what Nicodemus says. And he says, Lege pros auton ho Nicodemus. And he says to him, the Nicodemus, how, pos, how dinitoi, how dinitai, how is able a man to be born old, geriatric, you get the word geriatric, it's Jerome there, geriatric, meaning not he is able unto the womb, the kolia, kolion, of the mother of him, the second time to enter in and to be born, generated again. Now, Nicodemus should have known what being born from above meant, or being born again. Because every time they baptized a proselyte, they would tell him beforehand, we're going to go, they shave his head off, his eyebrows off like he's a newborn baby. They cut his fingernails all back like a little baby's. This is really important now, because he's supposed to know what's going on. And they took him and they dipped him. And he said, you have died to your old nation, and now you have been born from above. You've been born again. You died to your old national background, national ethnic background, and you have been raised to be a son of Israel. You're born again. Now, he was supposed to know that because he'd said this how many times? He probably had baptized a lot of proselytes. He did it. He was a master teacher. And then he said, Apokrithe, Jesus, amen, amen. And he answered Jesus, caught up in speech, Jesus said, truly, truly, again he used the double amen. I say to you all, except one is born out of water and the Spirit, not he is able to enter into the kingdom of God. Out of water and spirit. This is what we call a hendiades. This is a two for one. That's a figure of speech. Born out of water and blood. Water and blood. Water and blood. Two for one. They would baptize the proselytes in water. But Jesus said that's not enough. It has to be water and blood. When we're baptized into Jesus, we're baptized in this what? Blood. When a leper was cleansed, that was a disease that was totally uncurable. When they were cured from leprosy, they would take two turtle doves, and one of them, they would pull its head almost all the way off, it would be dead, and they'd take and drain its blood in a basin of running water. It had been caught from a river or something. It wasn't standing, stagnant. It wasn't a cistern or something. It had to be what they call living water. They would take that, and they drained the blood in that one, and then they would take the live dove and they would dip it in the water and the blood. That dove stood for who? Jesus. Jesus. Jesus told them several times that he was going to die, didn't he? Can you be, why they said one time, why, who's going to sit on your right hand and your left hand and keep? He said, are you able to baptize with the baptism that I've been baptized with? They said, oh, sure we can. He said, oh boy, you will be. Just wait. Peter was crucified upside down. Paul had his head chopped off. All of them except for John died violent deaths. They lost their blood. Water and blood. Every animal in the Old Testament, a lot of times they would take running water and put blood in it, and they would sprinkle it on things, wouldn't they? Water in the blood. Nicodemus, you're baptizing people in blood, but they need to be, or in water, but they need to be baptized in my blood, and you need to be. It's not enough. And number six, the thing being born out of the flesh, out of sarx estin. The flesh, the thing born out of flesh is flesh. You have a mother and a father, don't you? And every child that you have is a child of the flesh. That's it. And the thing, having been born out of the Spirit, Spirit is. Now, when you've been born on this earth, you're born the first time. But you must need to be born again from above. And that's what those Pharisees that kept telling these proselytes. You need to be born from above. You need to have your spiritual birth. You need to go back there. In the Old Testament, God, Jesus, Jehovah, told Abraham, your seed will be like what? Two things. The spiritual and the physical. Remember what it was, Brother John? The physical seed of Abraham would be like the sands of the sea. And the spiritual seed of Abraham would be like the stars of heaven. They're a different thing now. He's going to have a lot of physical children, but he's going to have a lot of spiritual children. Every one of us are spiritual children of Abraham, aren't we? Brother John.
Herbert
Lockyer.
He says, if you're heaven bound, you have to be heaven born.
That's right. If you're heaven bound, you've got to be born from above. When we're born into this world, we're born of earth. When we're born again, we're born from above. And these Jews had been telling these proselytes this all the time, but they didn't practice it. Jesus said, it's for real, Buster. It's for real. And you aren't there yet. Simple as that. Not marvel, Fama say. Don't be struck out of your senses. Don't marvel. Don't be confused, because I told you it is bindingly necessary for you all to be born from above, or wherever the Spirit, it blows, and the sound of it you hear, but not you understand from where it goes or where it goes. This in this same manner also everyone having been born out of the Spirit. And answered Nicodemus, caught up in speech Nicodemus, and he said to him, how is it able these things to be about? And Jesus said unto him, you are a master teacher of Israel. You are the teacher. Look at what it says, the teacher. Ho didaskalos, the teacher. He is the one that taught all these proselyte classes. You're a master teacher. You're a judge of Israel, and these things not you understand. Truly, truly, I say to you that what we know, we speak. What we know. Who is he talking about now? What we know. The church. The church. What we know, we know. We know absolutely. What we know, we speak. And what we have seen, we witness. And the witness of us not ye have received. The church is out baptizing people. The church is out healing people with demonic diseases and with all kinds of diseases. They're out raising the dead. They're out there. Jesus even healed the blind, which is a purely messianic credential. Earthly things I told you. Epigeia. Earthly things I told to you, and not you believe. How in the world, if I tell you, hiparania, heavenly things, and ye believe? And no one has gone up into heaven except the one out of the heaven having come down, the Son of Man. Now he knows who this is. Why, the book of Daniel tells us who the Son of Man is. They were very familiar with the book of Enoch. The book of Enoch kept telling them who the Son of Woman was, the seed of the woman. All right? And he's the one that came down out of heaven. Only one came down out of heaven. He said, no one has gone up into heaven except the one having come down out of the heaven, Katabas. Ho wheels to you. The one having come down out of the heaven. I'm going to tell you something. Elijah went to heaven, didn't he? The Bible tells us that. Who else went to heaven? Enoch went to heaven. But who came down out of heaven? Anybody ever come down out of heaven? Nobody but Jesus.
Nobody but Jesus.
Why, even the Lord took in time travel. We got one time traveler in the Bible. That's the book of John. That's the old John the Revelator. He showed him in the future. He took him up to heaven. But he didn't come from heaven. Only Jesus came down out of heaven.
That's the only one. Now that ought to make these verses extremely clear.
Because in the book of Romans and the book of Galatians, they're talking about Jews that thought they were better than everybody else. People that think they're better than everybody else. Romans 3:23. I started reading a book today. It was written by my uncle, Henry Starr. My dad's mother was a Starr. Henry Starr was a Cherokee outlaw. He was a Cherokee Indian, but he was an outlaw. He got into outlaw business by being arrested for all false charges and taken over to Fort Smith, Arkansas, and put in jail. He worked as a rancher and a hostler and a wrangler, and these horses ended up on the prairie out there, and his boss said, open the gate there and let those horses in. They're thirsty and everything. And so they sat down there, and pretty soon the owner of the horses came up in a few weeks, and they had fattened up real good and everything. And he said, how did you get these? He said, oh, they just wandered in here. That boy over there has been taking care of them for you, Henry Starr. He's an Indian. And he thanked him, shook his hand and everything else, went off and swore out a warrant for his arrest. For stealing his horse. He was in cahoots with the judges and the lawyers up there in Fort Smith, Arkansas. An Indian could not testify in court against a white man back then. The difference in people. The Indian had no say-so. You'd go steal Indian stuff and he couldn't even testify in court. You never prosecuted a white man. In Indian territory back in that time, the Indians had schools. The Indians provided their own school. In Paul Valley, Oklahoma, my great-great-great-grandfather built a school. And he built a church house. He hired the preacher himself, and he hired the teachers. They had church on Sunday, and they had school during the winter time for the children to be educated. The white people had no schools at all, but they would let their children come to the Indian school. They let them go in there. But the problem when they had the white people come into Indian territory, if they stole something from an Indian, the Indian had no recourse in law. General Crook, when he was in Arizona, and even in the Dakotas and Nebraska, he said, we got a real problem. He said, the reason why these Indians aren't staying on the reservations, he said, the white people, what we call the old Indian agents, are looking down on them and abusing them, and they're causing them to run off. Because there's no justice, no justice. Now the Jews, for so many times, they had looked down their nose to the heathens, us, the Gentile dogs. But now, the Apostle Paul and Jesus, in John the 3rd chapter, turned the tables on them and said, you are the heathens. You must be born again. You've been telling these Gentiles all these years you need to be born again. He said, now you need to be born again. You need to be born from above. You only have an earthly. You have the sands of the seashore. You're only a physical descendant of Abraham. Now you need to become a spiritual descendant of Abraham. 3:24. Dikaiou Manoi. Dorion. Te. Altu, Kariti, Dia, Tais, Apolitrosios, Tais, En, Christu, Esu. being justified, being made righteous, as a free gift freely. We got the word, the name Dora comes from this word, Dora. Dora. Dora means free gift or freedom in grace. Being justified freely as a gift by the or in the of Him grace. We're submersed in grace when we're saved. Through the redemption apolithrosios, through the redemption of the in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 2 and 8 says, for in grace ye are having been saved. For in grace. And right here we see in grace. Being justified freely in Him. Grace. In the grace of Him. We're immersed in grace when we're saved. We're immersed in it. Like we are baptized. What we do when we're baptized? When we're baptized, we tell the world that we have been saved already. That's right. We publicly tell the world that we are a Christian and that we're going to walk as a Christian from that time on. We're baptized because of Him. We're baptized because of Him. Because we've already been immersed in grace, in His grace. Through the redemption, that word redemption means the buying back. Apolitron. Litron was the word for buying the purchase money for a slave. The purchase money for a slave. By the redemption in Christ Jesus. Now, the price of redemption that God had set was an innocent something must die for the guilty. What did that little turtle dove do? They had two of them now. Two little turtle doves. They would take and choose one to pull its head off, and the other one they would dip it in water and blood of the other one, and then it turned loose. All the lambs that were ever led up and had their throats cut. What did the lambs do? We call innocent as a what? As a lamb. Innocent as a lamb. The lamb didn't do anything. But they would confess their sins on its head. And then it would die for them. That's all of that was telling. If in Jerusalem, ever, if they ever have another sacrifice, it will be blasphemy to God. If the Jews ever have a sacrifice and build themselves a temple in Jerusalem, the very first sacrifice they have is blasphemy to God. Because all of those sacrifices in the Old Testament pointed to Jesus. And after He came and died, there is no more sacrifice. If we have a sacrifice according to the book of Hebrews, what do? We put Him to open shame. We blaspheme God. Now, I know that the Jews want to have sacrifices over there in that Temple Mount. What they need to do is they will not see Him again until they say, blessed and holy is He that came in the name of the Lord. All of it's rebellion. All of it, as we looked at the word sins tonight, one of them was the sin of going astray after false gods. Okay? Astray after false gods. Hon, poetheto, ho, theos, hilasterion, dia, pistios, en to autu, hamate, eis, endexen, teis, dikaiosunes, autu, dia, tain, Parason, tone, progegon tone. Hamarte maton. There's a lot in this verse also. Whom placed before the God, the propitiation. That word propitiation is the same word in the Old Testament for the mercy seat. That's the mercy seat. All right. The mercy seat and the on the Ark of the Covenant, that's Jesus. Right here is where Jesus' blood would be offered. And back there, they would take once a year on Yom Kippur, Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur. It comes from Yom Day and Kippur, which means to cover, the Day of Covering. This word right here is the mercy seat, the propitiation, the covering, the mercy seat, the Ram of Atonement, the sin offering, through faith. Through faith, God placed the sin offering, the mercy seat, where the two angels were standing there. Remember? Here's the mercy seat on top of the Ark of the Covenant, and there's two angels with their wings pointing toward each other. In the Old Testament, the law says by two or three witnesses, let everything be established. You could not hang a man. Well, hang a man. You couldn't stone a man. Never was a man supposed to be executed for capital punishment unless there were at least two or three witnesses. Did you know that? That's what the Bible requires. Two or three witnesses. They couldn't be. Now, those two angels, those two cherubim standing over that mercy seat are God's witnesses. When we're born into this world, evidently, there are angels that witness that we're born. When we're born again, there are angels that witness that we have been saved. And when we die, if we're saved, two angels come and pick us up and escort us, our spirits, to be with God in our life. And this is what those two cherubims on the Ark of the Covenant stood for. And Jesus is our mercy seat. 1 John 2:2. Someone go to 1 John 2:2. That's very, very important. 1 John 2:2. Because here we have a cross reference directly to that. Are you there, Cindy?
Yeah. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world.
All right. He is the mercy seat. He is the atoning sacrifice. That's the word right here. Helasterion. He is the propitiation through faith in the Him, in the blood of Him, unto the showing and the pointing out. The shining out. Like a flashlight, like a spotlight right on him. Of the righteousness of him. Because of the paresim. This word paresim is beautiful. Circle that in your Bible. The Hebrew word is like a patah. Patah. It means Passover. The showing forth of righteousness to him because of the passing over. The Passover. Jesus is our Passover. He's our Passover. Paul's playing on words of Passover. He's our Paschal Lamb. He's our Passover. Of the having been happened or become before. Perfect tense. Genitive plural neuter. Perfect. Participle and acting. Having happened or become before. Our sins. All right, the sins. Our trespasses. Everything that we have committed, all the sins in our life, at the point of salvation, they're all washed away. They're all helasterion. They're all atoned for. They're all atoned for. Cindy, can you go back now and from about 323 to 325, can you read that real loud?
Since all have sinned and are falling short of the glory, honor and glory which God bestows and receives, all are justified and made upright and in right standing with God, freely and gratuitously by His grace, His unmerited favor and mercy, through the redemption which is provided in Christ Jesus. When God put forward before the eyes of all as a mercy seat and propitiation by His blood, cleansing and life-giving sacrifice of atonement and reconciliation to be received through faith. This was to show God's righteousness because in His divine forbearance He had passed over and ignored all our sins without punishment.
He is our Passover. Jesus is our Passover. As who passed over Egypt on that fateful night when all the firstborn were killed. Who passed over Egypt? Huh? No. Who passed over? That wasn't no death angel. I mean, we heard that a lot of times. We already heard about the missing and marked. Now, who passed over? Jehovah. He is our Passover. In Egypt, on that dark and fateful night, those that did not have the blood on the doorpost, if they didn't have blood on their doorpost, if they didn't have that lamb that they ate, remember, with their shoes on and their staves in their hand, their underbinders is what it says. That's shoes back then were underbinders. With their shoes on and their staff in their hand ready to leave. If they didn't have that over when Jehovah passed over Egypt, they were killed. But when we have the blood applied, Jesus is our Passover, isn't He? Now every night they remembered. Every once a year they had a Passover. They had a Paschal lamb and they ate this dinner and they stayed up late at night and thought about it, and they kept retelling the story of the Passover of Egypt when God passed over His people. What we call the death angel. There was no death angel. It was Jesus. It was Jehovah that passed over. And I'm going to tell you something. When somebody comes before the Lord without the blood, file 13. That's it. File 13. Forever. Destruction. Destruction. Thank you for your attention. I'm going to turn you loose. Go out there and do something eternal this week. Well, this was good stuff tonight. All I had to do was relate to you what's there. It's good. It's good. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you for coming so far also. Brother John, would you dismiss us in prayer, please, brother?
Thank you, Lord, for your word which has been given to us tonight, Lord, and for your